The Birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, praising, glorifying, and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone had a great Christmas on Friday. And the Christmas season, when I think of Christmas, I think of Christmas traditions. The definition of a tradition is a belief or behavior passed down within a group or society with symbolic meaning or special significance with origins in the past. What is it about traditions over Christmas that we love so much? I'm sure many of us can think of our own traditions that you maybe celebrate in your own family or that you've grown up as a little child doing every Christmas. I would invite you now just to share with your neighbor right beside you one Christmas tradition that you love. Just take maybe 30 seconds to share a Christmas tradition. I was listening on the radio, and the program was all about Christmas traditions. It was on WITF. And the one caller called in and said, "We have this tradition that we just absolutely love. And it's the family gets together, and we spend all day on Christmas cooking together." And they cook tamales. And there is a very long process to cooking tamales because you have to cook all the pork, and you have to pull the pork, and then there's corn that you have to husk, and to put them all together, he said it literally takes all day to make these tamales. But every year, the family knows we are going to spend the day cooking together in the kitchen, and we're just going to slow down and take our time doing it. And I just thought, you know, that's a cool tradition that brings the family together. Traditions connect us to something in the past. They connect us to a story. Maybe it's something that our grandparents did and their grandparents did. And so now it's not just about me, but it's about being a part of something larger. We are a part of a faith tradition in the Anabaptist Mennonite story. And so, in that sense, we're a part of a larger story. One tradition that I love is the past 3 years, I've been going to St. James Episcopal on New Year's Eve for their midnight mass. I like to say that I get my high church liturgy fix once a year. If you've never been to a high church liturgy, I would encourage you to stretch yourselves and experience it. It's very formal. There's a very high reverence for God. And it's very much based in tradition, because the service is pretty much the same every year. Beautiful singing by the choir, a brass instrumental, about 7-minute message from their vector, and then it always ends with Mass together, coming to the table and celebrating the gift of God coming into this world. It's a great tradition. There's another tradition that I love in my own family, and it's great to have my parents here too, that is, for as young as I can remember, before we would open gifts in the morning, Christmas morning, we would first stop and read the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2, 1 to 20. Often my dad would read it, just like we did this past Christmas as well. And we just have a little bit of time afterwards to reflect. Maybe it's just in silence, or if someone would have a comment on what stood out to them, there would be a space to share that. And then we would go into opening our gifts. But it's just a nice tradition that we've had. And as I think about all those different years of hearing the Luke 2 story, I think there's something that stands out a little bit different each year. It's amazing how the same Christmas story, read over and over and over again, can sometimes give us little nuggets each time we read it. And so I want to share 3 or 4 different nuggets that have stood out for me over the years that I've heard this story. This is one thing that has stuck out to me, especially this year, as I read the story, and certainly it helps to read the story while preparing the sermon too, because you're looking a little bit more in depth at some of the stuff. But it's right in the beginning, when it talks about Emperor Augustus and Quirinius and this whole idea of a registration. Why was there a registration? Well, the registration symbolizes something important in the Roman Empire, because the registration was something that Rome required for enrolling its residents. But why would they want to enroll their residents? Why would they want to know who is registered? Well, the most simple answer is that it was for the purpose of taxation. The purpose of taxation, yet in a bitter kind of irony, that even as they paid taxes to Rome, the residents of Judea, Samaria, and Galilee would often pay much more and would often receive much less. Indeed, there was much oppression and violence visited upon them by Rome. And so, as I listened to this part this year and remembered that Mary and Joseph also had to be registered, it reminds us that we also live in a world of oppression right now, of people that aren't treated fairly, of injustice. And sometimes I think in our families, where we experience often much more than what we need sometimes. It's hard to remember that on Christmas Day, some people are not experiencing the same comforts that we experience. And so, as we read about Mary and Joseph being registered, let's also remember those around us, even in our own Conestoga Valley community, that do not always have the Christmas meal on their table or many gifts to open. Luke is contrasting here that in a world filled with injustice and pain that Mary and Joseph even experienced, that salvation would come through a vulnerable baby, Christ the Lord. Here's another nugget that stands out to me. That there are shepherds and out in the field. Why did God choose the shepherds to come to the stable and worship this Christ? Why shepherds? That's so interesting to me. I mean, imagine, they were probably smelly, not too clean. They probably weren't extremely wealthy. They probably had some rough edges. And they probably didn't know the exact right way to worship. But that didn't matter. God was saying something important here, I believe. That as we come to see the Christ child, we come to the manger to worship God, we come to church each morning. And it's not about being perfect on the outside. It's not about having everything right in our nice Sunday clothing. It's not about having the most perfect worship with no squeaks. It's not about everyone having perfect four-part harmony. It's not about having all the right words or the perfect pronunciation as we read Scripture. No, I think this symbolizes that the God of this world, who comes in the form of a babe and wants the shepherds of all people to come and worship, says, come with your vulnerabilities. Come even when you don't feel like you're worthy of coming. Come to Bethlehem and see what God is doing. Come Sunday morning, even when you don't always know what you're doing or how you fit in, or when your clothing isn't the nicest. Some of us today come confused or in grief. How do we read this story when a loved one has just passed away? What do we do when income is small and debt is large? How do we move forward after a divorce? The vulnerable Christ child, who would also be a king, hears and surrounds us wherever we are, in joy and in difficulty. And I just wonder, you know, what were the shepherds experiencing that night as they were tending their sheep? You know, who knows the circumstances that they were in as lowly shepherds? And yet, there was the angels telling them, you know, come, come and see. And they followed. And they worshiped God. Here's another nugget that sticks out to me. And it's kind of more of a big picture. It's just as you read this story and you just imagine how God has worked in history. The love of God to come to earth as Emmanuel, God with us. And to me, the heart of this is that it's a message of love. A message of love. That God loved us so much that he would come in the form of a human. Suffer, die, rise again for the salvation of the world. But also come and teach us a way to live. What great love. And if there's nothing else that we take away this Christmas, I think it's this. That we are deeply loved. Marvin, God loves you. Esther, God loves you. I don't know where everybody's at here, but Esther, God loves you. Nathan, God loves you. Dave, God loves you even when you love the Cowboys. Josh, God loves you. We need to receive those words of love because we're surrounded by people, and sometimes it's our own selves that tell us that we're not good enough or that we're not loved. And this morning, this story reminds us that God loves us so much that He would come into the form of a human, a vulnerable baby, and show us that love by living with us. And so let's remember that we are loved and tell people that God loves them. And here's the fourth nugget that stood out to me. In verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying God. They went and they saw this Jesus and they worshiped. And then they returned back to their homes, back to their places of work, back to their neighborhoods, and they worshiped God. We gather here every Sunday morning and we worship God, but that's not where it ends. We return back into the world. We are people that are set to go and share the love of God in Christ to the world. And I love it that that word return is in there. The shepherds returned, glorifying God. And so we have this great story this Christmas. A tradition in my family that is read each year. And I believe this morning that this church community is also a family. In this family, Whitmer Heights, we also have traditions. Look around at your family. Say hello to your family. This is a family that has invited others to join us. Some of them are relatives, some maybe neighbors, some in the community. In this family of Whitmer Heights, we pray together, we sing together, we read stories together, we share our money together. We eat together in this family. We share our concerns and prayer requests in this family. We have conflict in this family. But I haven't found a family that doesn't have conflict. We argue. We sometimes get upset at the little things. And then later think, maybe I should go and apologize. And then we forgive in this family. We figure out together in this family. It's a part of our baptismal vows to forgive one another. And so with this Christmas story on our hearts, and as we are together with our church family here, I am suggesting a few more traditions for all of us to figure out together. First of all, let's, as a family, think about the things that we already do together and start there. Think about how we keep Christ at the center of who we are. We have some traditions in this church, like once a year having a meal and a worship service with First Step. And that's an important tradition that we have. There's a tradition in this church family of once a year retreating away for a weekend and slowing down and relaxing. There is a tradition in this family that every 6 weeks we're going to have a fellowship meal together. And you can probably think of many more that I'm not, of different traditions at Whitmer Heights. Here might be a few more that we can take away as we read this Christmas story. Let's start a tradition of praying for the world, praying for our own lives, praying for our congregation, prayer that God would keep moving in our lives. And we do that right now, but I don't think we can do it enough. Let's do it more this year. Let's pray more for God to move in our world and in our lives. Prayers of our own confession of need for God's healing in our own lives and forgiveness. If we start with prayer, I think we're starting at a good place for traditions. Maybe some of us want to start a new tradition, and maybe some of you already do, to invite someone to dinner that maybe you didn't know before. A neighbor, a coworker, someone else. Maybe some of you are already doing that. And if you do, share that with us of how it's going. What's hard about it? Where does it feel vulnerable? We need to learn together how to be an inviting people. Maybe a good tradition is to shop locally to help ensure that people are treated fairly and that goods are coming from local places that reduce the amount of energy needed to ship them. It seems like something small, but I think it's significant, and it's a part of who we are. Maybe that's a tradition that some of us want to start or are continuing to do. Maybe there could be a tradition of volunteering at the CVCCS and getting to know someone there and starting a relationship with them, the Conestoga Valley Christian Community Services. Maybe there is a tradition of inviting someone to Christmas dinner that doesn't have a home or a family. Yes, it will be vulnerable. Yes, it might disrupt your own family tradition. But we have to remember, as we read this story, that Jesus himself didn't have a home and that he was invited in to a stable. So, what traditions do you love? What traditions do you cherish? And what traditions are in our own family here at Whitmer Heights? And how is God inviting us to keep this tradition of the Christmas story at the heart of who we are, to keep Christ at the center of who we are in this family? Our theme over Advent and Christmas has been freedom bound. And I would invite us to put our attention over here once again as we come to near the end of this season. We still have next week with Epiphany yet. But for our guests who are here, we have chains that represent some of the sin that holds all of us, the brokenness of the world. And yet, this season, we acknowledge being both bound by that and also on a journey, a path, as the picture represents, of freedom. We live in the paradox of both being free and bound. And I think as we've removed chains each Sunday, representing God's freeing love and grace, the reason that we can remove those chains is because of this story here today. That God came into this world to bring freedom. That God came into this world to bring life and life abundant. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we proclaim that we have freedom. That yes, we still live with the brokenness and the sin, but that we have a hope. We don't just live in endless despair, but we believe that God is doing something good in our lives and in our world. And so may we be a people that are freedom bound. Today and always. And as we go into a time now of some reflection, I would invite us all to think about our own traditions that we have and how maybe God might be nudging us to start a new tradition in the coming year. Let us pray. God, this Christmas season, we thank you for your love. That we are loved, each of us. so much that you came into this world to be with us, Emmanuel. May we rejoice in the angels' good news. May we, like the shepherds, come just as we are in our dirty, messed up hair, smelly clothing sometimes, to worship you. And may we keep our eyes open for glimpses of your humble presence in the world. And like the shepherds, may we return glorifying you wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.